What a blessed thing to recognize the truth of is that where the Lord leads us, that he provides for us.
Thank you, Nikki.
Appreciate that. Turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. You know, how do you maintain your faith in the midst of a faithless world? This is where Israel was, in the midst of a faithless world. As we look at this chapter this morning, I think there's things we can learn as we recognize the world that we live in as well. Joshua is here in the end of his life. He has ministered to Israel. He has led Israel through their entry and their initial establishment in their land. And he has some extremely important words to leave with the Israelites that will grant them either a future success or a future failure. So I'd like us to look at this chapter, recognizing that here are words of a man that understands the people that where he is, and the Lord has given him some important things to give to the people before he dies. So we see in this, I could call it a call to steadfastness, and how that is to take place. The first thing that we see in these first five verses is Joshua tells them, look to what God has done. Look to what God has done. When we come to the third verse there, he says, you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto you all these unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. He's revealing to them and reminding them, you have what you have. In this place where these godless nations have been defeated, you have that because your God has fought for you. Yes, they had battles. They had battles that they fought, but they needed to recognize that it was God that had worked and that had fought for them. In verse 4, we see there where God gave to them an inheritance of the nations there. He says, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. The Lord is letting them know that he gave that to them. It's God that gave that to them. And that he promised to expel the enemy. Verse 5, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. Ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. You know, as I see what Joshua is saying to Israel there, and I look at where we are today. You know, we're coming up to the 4th of July. We're coming up to a time when we remember and celebrate the independence that God has given to us as a nation. We in America need to look at what God has done for us, even as Israel here was reminded what God was and what he did and was going to do through them. We have an inheritance of ancestors who were seeking religious freedom, that desired freedom to worship God according to their conscience and not the dictates of their government. And God granted to us this nation, as there were those in the midst of our people that sought to honor him. God has blessed us. He has prospered us. He's built us up as a nation. Some would argue that, well, it was our men and women who died fighting for this, and certainly as we were on Memorial Day remembering those who gave their lives for us. But there are those that say, well, this is the fruit of our labors. And they would not recognize what God has done. The scripture reveals to us a much bigger picture. It's God that raises up nations, and it's God that takes down nations. And, you know, I would remind you as we think of that, and even as we look at God's working in Jeremiah, the passage I often go to, and I've in the past have preached on from Jeremiah 18. But in Jeremiah 18, the Lord has something that he wants Israel to know, and that is that he's the one that tears down and that builds up nations. And the Lord here in Jeremiah 18 takes Jeremiah down to the potter's house to watch what happens when they're on the potter's wheel, when the potter is making a vessel that he determines for something, and then as he is doing that, there's a mar that comes in and it's not usable for what was first intended, and so then he changes that for another purpose. And so as Jeremiah sees this, then the Lord asked Jeremiah, now what did you see? And Jeremiah tells him, and then in the sixth verse, the Lord said to him, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of that evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So then the Lord tells Jeremiah, now you go give those words to Israel. They need to know that it is me, it is God that raised them up. It is God. And so as Joshua is here speaking to Israel, he is saying to them, you see what I have done. You see how I have given you this inheritance, and I am promising to expel you from this. You need to recognize it is the work of the Lord that I have fought for you. And certainly we in America, instead of thinking we're so high and mighty, and because of our superiority in weapons and things that we will be strong, we need to take the lesson here from Joshua and Israel that it is by the power of God and the hand of God. He's taken down mighty nations, and he's built up little ones and made them to be what they are today. Then we go on here in this to verses 6 through 8, and here Joshua is letting them know they need to not just see what God has done, but then look to themselves. He says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right or to the left, that ye come not among these nations." But he says, you need to, within yourselves, see that you are following God's word. God's word should be permeating your lives. How do we stand in an evil day? Joshua is saying, if you're going to stand in an evil day, then you need to take heed to God's word. That God's word should be the foundation of your life. You know, as I read that, I thought of what the Lord had given them back in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a passage here where he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This begins in the fourth verse of Deuteronomy 6. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know, the Lord was letting them know, if you're going to maintain, God's word needs to be permeating in your life. This isn't giving them a Sunday religion, or in the Jews' context, their Saturday, their Sabbath religion. Just give the Lord this day. But this is a life where God's word is known, it is read, it is talked about, it is put into every part of the life. The Vacation Bible School, what a blessing the Vacation Bible School was, and the opportunity to take from the snacks to the games, to the crafts, to as well as certainly the main Bible lesson. But it was just woven and always talked about how this applies to God's word. Do we do that in our lives? I mean, that's what should be happening in our life from day to day. We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about the weather. We talk about the different projects that we have. We talk about the vocation that we have. But do we talk about it in relationship to God's word and how those things apply? One of the things that has made the camping program to be a blessing is because it's just emphasized with our counselors and our staff that when you're with the young people, help them to see how these games and how your attitude and applies to what God has for us in His Word, and so it should be talked about in the way, but it's not just for some instance like in VBS or in our camp and the camping program, but it's to be permeating your life. It's to be permeating my life. I mean, I find I have to remind myself of that. It's so easy just to be talking about things without relating it to what is the will of God, and look what God has done, and look what God is going to do, and look at the way the Lord answered this particular prayer. So Joshua is here letting them know. He's letting them know that examine yourself how you are following according to God's word. having a hungering. Do you have a hungering for the Word of God? Are you being continually immersed in God's Word? You know, in our American society today, it's pretty much just, you know, do your responsibility, make it to a church service, and you've done it without recognizing the importance of the fellowship that we have and the ministering that we have one to another and how we've been gifted to work and to labor together as a church. There's a lot of churches, fundamental churches that they've canceled their evening service because there's just not enough interest. That's too bad, isn't it? You know, our pastor works and labors and has had tremendous messages. I've hated when we've had to miss to be someplace else, even in another service, to miss the messages here. But you know, we should have that hungering for God's word, wherever God's word is being taught and proclaimed. That's where I want my kids. You know, that's why I had them here at VBS. That's why I want them to be in the camp for their age, or that's why I want to go and serve and help there, because I have a hungering for God's word, and I want to share that with others, because if our society is gonna persevere in these days as Christians and the things that are in God's word, we've got to have that permeating our hearts, and not just what I remember from the past, but how's God's word talking to me today? Now, when you go to the Lord in devotions in the morning, or whenever you have it in the evening, or before the Lord, you know, when you're reading God's word, it don't matter how many times you've read that passage before, God has something for you that day, doesn't he? You know, you read that and you say, oh, boy, Lord, thank you, Lord, I needed that today. You know, that should be what is permeating our hearts and our lives. And so when we come down to verse 7, not just examining how we're following the Lord, but what is your relationship with the world? You know, here in verse 7, that ye come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, nor serve them, nor bow yourselves before them. Here in verse 7, you know, when Israel did not keep themselves from associating with the false worship of their neighbors, they ended up becoming part of it. You know, I heard it said years ago, and I've seen it played out so many times, that what we tolerate today, we will embrace tomorrow. We have to be so careful with how the world, how the effects of the world, how the false philosophies of the world, how they affect our lives. You know, the world, God reveals to us that the world is our enemy. When I'm talking about the world system, I'm talking about, like in 1 John, 2nd chapter, when he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that the world hath, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you living for the world today? You know, each of us have to continually look at ourselves and evaluate. Am I living for the world? Now, yes, If a man provides not for his own, Scripture says he's worse than an infidel. We're to work and to labor in this world. And the Lord also prayed that he says, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from evil. You know, we are pilgrims. We're to be strangers here. It's like I've got to use the things in this world, but that's not where my heart is. I'm here. I go to work. I labor, yes, to provide for my family, but not only to provide for my family, but that this is the place where I can serve my God, where I can meet people and tell them about the Lord, and I should my vocation should be used not to gain of the world, but to serve my Lord and my Savior. Joshua knew that if they start to become a part of the and here of their religious system, they're going to be neutralized, and after a while embrace it. And that's exactly what happened in Israel, and that's what's happening to us in America today. We become so much a part of the world that it's the world, it's the things that I want. It's working for things instead of working for my Savior. We must understand that the world system is an enemy of God. It's your enemy, and it'll destroy you. And as this passage ended, the world's temporary. You can gain the whole world, as the Scripture says, and those that have gained the world and they lost their soul because that was because they didn't give their heart to the Lord. But as Christians and as Joshua was talking to the Israelites, he's letting them know, if you're going to maintain, you've got to learn to keep yourself and your heart unto the Lord and not for the world. And then in verse 8, he tells them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. He said, cleave unto the Lord. That means don't leave the Lord's side. Stick close to him. John Gill, in his commentary on this, said, you're cleaving to his word. You're cleaving to worship. You're cleaving to the ordinances of the church. You want to adhere to them. You want to have a strong affection to the Lord, that he's your hope, he's your trust, he's your confidence. In him is your expectation for all good things. Is that to cleave to the Lord is to shy away from the things of the world, to just hold tight onto the Lord. I've watched some of these little children here. I've watched as some of yours, young ones, that you come up to them, and it seems like especially when they wake up, you know, they just, man, they'll be hanging right on to you, and they're cleaving to you. They don't have that independent spirit yet at that point. It's too bad once they, sometimes then they're ready to get off and run off. But you know, we want our children to hold on tight to us. That's what the Lord wants us to cleave unto him. Are you cleaving to the Lord? Is he your full dependence? Is he your security? Or is his security your job? Is his security a house, a land, a bank account? The Lord should be your security. Is the Lord your security? All the rest is temporary. All the rest is going to be gone. So he says, cleave unto the Lord. And then as we come to to verses 9 through 11, he tells them to look where their strength is. Look here in verse 9. For the Lord has driven out before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. He's saying to them, look back and see what happened. They couldn't stand before you. In verse 10, he says, one man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. So he says, so take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love your gods. It's God that has fought for you. You know, I think of back in Numbers when with Moses, the people, it says Israel quaked because they said the enemy looked like grasshoppers. I mean, they were just all over. It says there's a massive enemy. They're grasshoppers. I remember the time when Moses stood before the Red Sea and the people saw the enemy and it all was lost. And Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Remember when David stood before Goliath and the Philistines and the Israel fled when Goliath came out. David looked at that, not at the massive enemy, but he looked at it from the Lord's perspective. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the enemies of the living God? David was just appalled because he knew from where victory comes. We let things defeat us. We let people and situations overwhelm us instead of just trusting in our God. Instead of cleaving and having a love toward him, he says, love the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be just half-hearted as believers. He wants us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Another passage says, with all your might, love the Lord your God. He should be your entire being. And if he's not, you think of the church of Laodicea. Recently, the pastor was going through Revelation, and the church of Laodicea, what was that church's problem? They weren't hot or they weren't cold. They were lukewarm. And the Lord says, I would spew thee out of my mouth. He said, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and blind and poor. Oh, they trusted in themselves and where they thought they were, and God saw the emptiness. They were lukewarm. They didn't have their heart wholly unto the Lord. The Lord wants all of your heart. He wants you completely. He wants you depending on him, not just going your own way, being your own independent person. That's how we're going to survive in this evil day, to love the Lord with all of our heart, to recognize where our strength really is. Is your strength in yourself? Are you a self-made man, a self-made woman? Your strength in yourself, or is it in the Lord? In the evil day, to withstand, we need to recognize that he is my strength. He's the one that fights for me. And though there be a thousand, that verse the Lord revealed there through Joshua, though, one man will chase a thousand. How's that happen? Because the Lord is the one that's fighting for him. And then when we come really verses 12 to 16, there's a warning there. There's a warning there. He said, else if ye do in any wise go back. There's a warning here about don't go back. Don't go back. If you go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go unto them and they to you. He says, you become a friendship here with the world, with the wickedness of the world. You go back, he says, you know of a certainty, verse 13, that the Lord your God will no more drive any of these nations before you. But there'll be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God's given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Joshua's letting him know. He says, now I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm about to die. And ye know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed. Joshua's reminding them now God fulfilled all the good things that he said. And then he says, therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you off of this good land which the Lord your God gave you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. It says, remember the promises of God. He keeps the good promises, and he keeps those other promises as well. He will take away. You know, Joshua has been with these people for a long time. And these are listed here as his dying words that he gives. It's a man that's come to know the tendencies of the human heart. The scripture says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Joshua recognizes that, and as he is here giving what the Lord has given him, he knows the dangers of those things to the people. And so he's warned them. He's given them an outline here of what they need to be doing to stand in an evil day. You know, they're the same dangers that we face today. The human heart has not changed, neither has God changed. Again, as we think of our own nation, it's easy to think, well, we're one nation under God. There are those in high places in our nation that are trying to challenge that today. We're not a Christian nation. We're not a nation under God. We don't hold to that at all. We recognize that as God lifts up nations, and as we read there from Jeremiah, and God takes down nations, that our nation could easily be taken down. Don't matter how strong of weapons, how strong our military is. As the Lord dealt for good for Israel, he said one man would chase 1,000. the Lord had to deal with Israel over the years, and the Lord did what he said he would do, and he put him under bondage to other nations when they went against him. And we don't have any reason to think that he would not do the same for us. Yes, we live in a different dispensation. We live in the dispensation of the New Testament church. But we are to learn from these Old Testament examples. You know, there's a way God deals with nations and way they go. And of course, as we're dealing in the context of the church today, we recognize that we don't have particular promises of continuance as Israel did, but we're part of the church, which the Lord is. We are under His protection as a church, as a body of believers, and yet, if we're to maintain and our families, and if we're going to have families that go on and continue for the Lord, what's the next generation going to be like? I think these things that we're learning from Joshua are so important. Recognizing how important it is for us to have our hearts fixed upon God, let God's word be continually permeating our minds and our hearts, that we might sort out the deceit and the evil things that so easily creep into our lives. It's David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Let's determine. Every opportunity we have, for me, for my family, for those that are under my influence, that we're going to keep ourselves permeated with God's word. In the home, every opportunity there is, as we walk about, as we do, we talk of the things of God, we witness of Him, we recognize what's come from Him, that we take every opportunity within the body of believers to be where the word is taught and the word is proclaimed. And so these things are constantly there before us. Yeah, I think I've used this example before, but something my mom said that I don't have any recollection of was, and I don't know at that point, as I was young, what the spiritual condition of my father was. I know he wasn't saved in the earlier days of my childhood, but mom says there was one Sunday when it was probably before Dad was actually saved, that Dad said, "I'm not going to church today." My mom said, I spoke up and said, "I'm not going either." My dad said, "Let's go." Mom said she felt that was a turning point in my life, because at that point, just because to see that, even with my dad at that point, he recognized, hey, this is affecting my son. And when he said, "Let's go," he meant, "I'm going and you're going with me." We need to have that kind of determination, even when we don't feel like it, even when there's things that would so easily want to take precedence, that we recognize God is first. I want every opportunity for the things to permeate my life and my children's lives, and that my life lived before my grandchildren will be an example. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, speaking of these Old Testament examples, he said, "Now these things have happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom all the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that stands take heed lest he fall." These Old Testament scriptures were given to us for our admonition as examples to us. And he said, so take heed lest ye fall. May the Lord help us to be a people that stand for him, that we listen to this call for steadfastness that we see there Joshua gave to Israel, and see how it applies to us today, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this example from Israel. And Lord, they lived in a different day and a different time, but their hearts, they had the same kind of hearts that we have today. And Lord, may they be examples to us that we will take heed that we not fall. And Lord, as we pray for this, we pray for our nation. Lord, we pray that the godly men and women would stand for thee, and Lord, that we would take the opportunities we have with our children and grandchildren, that Lord, that we may have at least the influence upon our own circles. Lord, that maybe the days of the fall of our nation would be put off. We look, Lord, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And until then, may we trust thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and